is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Lube text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
It's a Friday edition of the program. Welcome in. It's Carmichael Dave. And hey, look over there. That's Jay Mars. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. If you want to text us, go ahead. Today only, though, 916-339-1140. Hey, we don't have sound dropped in today for Soundgarden, so I'm shifting on the fly here a little bit. Do we still have the Soundgarden open and all that?
Yeah.
Okay, I've put together you're just going to have to run with me on the fly here. I've put together a little mini half Soundgarden. All right? Good? All
ready?
Right, here we go.
Soundgarden. The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today. Soundgarden. It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
All right, we played this a couple days ago in Soundgarden, but this is apropos. Here's Charles Barkley on Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis, I told you, the Lakers can't win this series. Forget about the championship. They can't win this series without street clothes.
I'm not even... You want to explain that?
I call him Anthony Street Clothes Davis because he's always in street clothes.
You ain't got to explain it, Chuck.
All right, everyone's laughing. All right, now hit the Soundgarden thing again for me, would you?
Hold on, I got to pull it up.
There's a point I'm trying to make here. All right,
Soundgarden.
Okay, here's Charles Barkley from last night.
You give him credit for at least trying to play in the game?
Yes, but I can't believe the doctors put him out there. He should not even try. Ernie, me and Kenny watched this. Let's watch Anthony Davis. You saw right from jump ball. I don't even know. They saw some in warm up to make him think he could play, but listen, he's a terrific kid. He's a hell of a player, but there's no way he should have been out there. But I will say this: they're gonna have to sit him down this summer and say, "Yo, man, is something going on with your training?" Because you know, Ernie and Shaq and Kenny know this: you should never be hurt early in your career. Like I always told people, from 22 to 32, you're Superman. And then, obviously, age and all the games take their toll. For him to always be hurt, he's doing something wrong. And at this stage of LeBron's career, Anthony Davis is going to have to be the best player on that team if they're ever going to be good again. LeBron, at some point, and age is starting to catch up with him, too. Just know that he's going to just keep playing great for eternity. It's not going to happen.
That's Charles Barkley last night. Listen, I'm not saying... I'm not here to say that what Charles Barkley, I'm not here to say that what he said forced Anthony Davis to play. But that's the pressure of big time sports right there. What do you mean you can't believe he was playing the doctor? Now it's the doctor's fault.
I mean, it kind of is. He shouldn't have been cleared to play last night.
I mean, okay. You know, street clothes.
Obviously shouldn't have been cleared to play last night. Very obviously. That was bad. I actually felt bad. I shouldn't say like he's bad. I felt bad for him.
Do you give him credit?
I mean, I'll give anybody credit for trying to gut something out. Yeah, I'll give AD the credit for making the attempt. I will not give any credit to the Lakers medical staff, that's for sure.
Yesterday was the anniversary of Shaquille O'Neal getting an iconic lob pass from Kobe Bryant. Hit that Soundgarden button, would you please?
Soundgarden.
Here's what they had to say. Well, this is an all TNT Soundgarden.
This is June 4th.
The pass, Kobe, since we are actually...
Oop, that's my fault, since we are actually...
Now, Kobe to Shaq.
The pass, wow. Kobe. You got nothing here, Shaq?
Woo!
As you look back at that video?
No, I was just remembering. It was...
Who are you pointing to?
Oh, Sharif, because he was two at the time, and he said, "Daddy, when?" I didn't even know he could talk.
What's up?
No, sure.
Come on, how would he be? You knew he could talk.
Like, no, because
your son could talk. Listen. You lived in the house with him. You knew your son could talk.
Was he at the game?
Listen.
Come on.
Was he at the game?
Can I finish?
No.
Let me finish.
You just trying to make a real great story that wasn't. Then you just realize how crazy that sounds.
Listen,
I'm just trying to go down memory lane with you on that play.
No,
I didn't even know he could talk.
As you know, when I come in the house, I'm real playful with the kids. So it's, you know, right before the game, he just came and grabbed me. He was like, Daddy, win for me. And it was like, you speak in sentences? Like, I didn't know, he spoke in sentences. Cause,
so his first words,
yes,
sentence.
Yes.
First anyway, sentence was, Daddy, win for me.
So anyway.
That's a liar.
So many layers to this.
The internet is undefeated, and here's why. Shaq's right, by the way. Shaq is correct. Sharif was around. Sharif O'Neal was 5 months old. He wasn't two. He was 5 months old.
Oh, Sharif. Daddy got dead for you, son. You're not conscious or anything, man.
And it actually...
Sharif might as well have been in the womb still.
All right, you said it correctly. There's layers here. And the layer that I took away is, isn't it a fact that as people get older, they tend to take perfectly good stories and you feel like you have to embellish them? I want a spelling bee in fourth grade, right? My mom telling the story now would be like, you know, David had pneumonia and he rolled in there
with no legs.
And all the kids, yeah. And all the kids got words like bat and bar and fern.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious came up, and there's my little David.
My little David's 8 years old, and they threw out, pneumo-ultrascopic silicon volcanic coniosis. And he nailed it, and he won. And when he won, there were TV cameras there, and they actually carried him out of there on their shoulders.
I wish we still had the championship belt he won, but...
Right, and it's like, it was a perfectly good story that he won the spelling bee in fourth grade. That's all you need. And I know I'm guilty
after spelling
of this
the word like astronaut.
Right.
By the way, the best thing from that whole clip is Ernie Johnson.
Oh, doing the Shaq.
Doing the Shaq, but it was like he did not plan that.
No.
It just so naturally came out of him. And that's what made it great. It's like, who knew Ernie Johnson had this like perfect Shaquille O'Neal impression just sitting there?
Right. And just an addendum before we go to break here. Actual, real-life, true friend of the show, Frank Caliendo. Frank Caliendo seized on the whole street clothes thing, and this is all Frank Caliendo, of course.
With Charles Barkley causing a little bit of a stir by calling Anthony Davis...
Anthony Street Clothes Davis?
I think the NBA on TNT should have Charles Barkley read off a bunch of other nicknames for him. And I think it would go something like this.
Charles, let's hear their list first.
Let me just say... Frank, by his own admission, was never able to do Ernie Johnson. I think his Ernie Johnson has become one of his better impressions. It's so understandable.
And I think it would go something like this.
Charles, let's hear their list. First off, Ernie, you know I don't like to say things that make people upset.
Okay, Chuckster.
But you guys are making me do this, so here we go.
This is going to be good.
First up... Instead of the brow, we got the brouch.
I heard that one on Dan Patrick.
JJ.
They might get shirts.
Next up, Mr. Glass.
I love Samuel L. Jackson. He's the best part of those commercials.
And Shaq is definitely an expert on commercials.
That's a good one, Ernie.
And last but certainly not least.
Here we go, Ernie.
Anthony Day to Davis.
That's actually pretty good. I think
that's really good. I like that.
We'll take a break.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
See that? We made a Soundgarden after all. Jay, I'm proud of us.
It's a Soundgarden after all. It's a Soundgarden after all.
Coming up next.
More Soundgarden?
We got somebody in the bullpen. Do we have anybody in the bullpen? Jay's tired. He had an extra long day yesterday.
That wasn't that long.
Before the show it was.
Then I told you also, it was 20 minutes longer.
Three for Madness. Lakers and Nuggets. Right. And hey, how about just the city of L.A.? Boy, you got to feel bad for them. We'll talk about all that then.
One, two, three.
It's three for madness time. Three for madness. Three questions, three answers.
One, two, three. Woo!
It's three for madness. Here's question one.
All right, coming up at 8:05. And killing.
Yes. A's.
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 Well, it's not Ann Killian of the A's. It's Ann Killian from the San Francisco Chronicle.
Although Ann Killian could probably hit for a better average than most of the A's.
Wow, dude.
Still saying.
Totally unnecessary.
Not really. Need to fire him up.
In fact, not one A struck out yesterday.
So?
We're going to talk to Ann Killian about the war being waged by Bay Area media on the A's. Is the media coverage being fair? What are the, A's?
Are they saying mean things?
Right. You know, listen, I mean, it's a big deal. And I am very much hoping that we get Dave Cavill next week. We should. I've been told that we should. He's in New York right now with owners meetings. So trying to present the sides here. And really, when it's all said and done, I only care about one thing. If I hope the A's stay in Oakland. I am not confident, but I truly do hope that they do. And I want to get into this a little bit more. It's summertime. Basketball's wrapping up. We got baseball. You know, we want to look for something to kind of grab onto. And why not use our podium to put out more of the story here when it comes to the A's stadium? If nothing else, try to educate people and get all the sides out there. And you know what, Jay, what I'd like for us on this show, I'd like for us to publicly negotiate a deal.
Okay.
I think that wouldn't that be a great segment we could make promos out of?
Yeah, we would probably even get Wikipedia pages if we were to be successful at it.
Yeah, I don't have a Wikipedia page.
Yeah, you didn't decide to make one for yourself?
Oh God. That's the ultimate ego thing. And I have a friend I will not mention that did that.
Oh, there's someone that works here that did that.
Oh, are you serious?
I'll tell you.
You have to. It's Christopher Laud, right? Question one.
It's not Christopher Laud. The champ. If you look at the champ on Wikipedia,
that would actually be really funny.
That would be great if he did.
Could we make a Wikipedia on Christopher Laud and not make it a joke one, except that we put like Chris, the champ, Verlaud, and then just, you know, try to get his birthday and, you know, make a serious one, but just call him, refer to him as the champ throughout the whole thing.
I like it.
Picture with the belt on.
I'm into this.
Question one.
Do the Lakers need more firepower or just a little bit of health?
All right, let's do one serious thing on the Lakers, please, because I really just want to stick to the whole. Oh, eat it, Laker fan. But one bit of serious analysis. They need health more than anything. Look, if getting healthy means that you get a fully functional LeBron James and Anthony Davis, I understand. LeBron's older. Has LeBron missed something, lost something? Sure. But he's still a guy putting up, you know, 25, 8, and 8 every night. I wish
I lost something the way LeBron James loses something.
He also continues to be a coach on the floor, a leader in the locker room. Oh, and by the way, he's probably, along with Chris Paul, the smartest player in basketball when it comes to, you want to talk about basketball IQ, LeBron's the guy at the top, and then everyone should be measured against him. And then Anthony Davis is still in his mid-20s. He is still, when healthy, easily a top 10, if not top 5 player in the NBA. So that, first and foremost, like, I wouldn't panic if I'm them. I would say, guys, take it easy. No Olympics, no nothing, no summertime run, just...
Well, LeBron already said he's not playing.
Yeah, he's space jamming.
Space Jam's already shot, right? It's just more promotion. Yeah, the promotional vehicle is going out now.
Which, you know, I don't have a problem with that type of schedule either, as long as his body is being... And LeBron's great at taking care of his body.
LeBron's bringing one of those cryo-freezing things on the road with him, because he has that kind of money.
Well, honestly, the smartest thing the Lakers could do is ask LeBron to fold Anthony Davis into his training regimen. I mean, truthfully, fold him into his training regimen. And if I'm the Lakers, I say, what, you know, LeBron says he spends, what, $2 million a year on his body? If I'm the Lakers, I'll spend $2 million a year on Anthony Davis's body.
Yeah, I've never understood why teams don't do that more. Actually invest the money into their players versus the players doing it themselves.
I don't know either.
Like, if I had a, I don't know, $160 million contracted player, I would want to make sure they're at tip-top health at all times. That's just me, though.
I would say that a healthy Anthony Davis is worth far more than $2 million to the LA Lakers.
I agree with you. I'm big on the health thing. They do need more. They do need to figure out the center position, though. Montrez was a failure. Gasol was a failure. Drummond was a failure. Truthfully, they should have really went after Hassan Whiteside. I think he would have probably got more run.
Yeah, I also feel, though, that Hassan Whiteside would have been part of that same.
Yeah, I know. I'm just being facetious.
God, you know who would I don't even want to say it. They don't have the money for it either, but you know who'd fit in really well on that team.
I could think of a lot of players. Rashawn Holmes, yeah.
Yeah, number two.
Question two.
Are the Nuggets a real threat in the Western Conference?
You know, it's amazing because Jamal Murray got hurt. And remember, the Nuggets, Kings swept the Nuggets this year.
They did.
As they also swept the Mavs.
They did.
And both those teams are likely going to be second round playoff participants. And they don't have Jamal Murray. And yet, here they are. The Denver Nuggets, who I believe, I could be wrong here, I believe they had the best record in the second after the All-Star break this year in the NBA.
That Aaron Gordon trade had really worked out for them.
It did.
It was a good trade.
Austin Rivers was a hell of a pickup.
Monte Morris has been outstanding.
And let's just be honest, Michael Porter Jr. is playing at an All-Star level for much of this play. Yesterday, his, what did he have, 22 points in like the first quarter and a half or something silly?
Yeah, that first half, he really carried Denver.
It was ridiculous.
And like we said, Jokic wasn't scoring, but Porter, he picked up that burden.
They're well coached. They aren't the best defensive team there is, but I think that Michael Malone maximizes their defense with the personnel on the floor. And they have the MVP of the league in Nikola Jokic. I think when you look at what's ahead for them, I think they absolutely are a threat to come out of the West. Are they a threat to win the whole thing? But when you're talking Utah, Clippers, or Mavs,
or Suns.
Huh?
I said Suns.
I truly think why not Denver?
They're a threat. As long as I always hate doing the injury caveat thing, but you have to. As long as CP3 is playing between like 80%, I think the Suns should beat Denver, but that series is not a foregone conclusion by any sense.
And you've got it's Nuggets Suns next, correct?
Correct. Nuggets Suns, and then the Jazz will get the winner of Mavs Clippers.
So this is interesting because of the five teams currently remaining in the West, three of them have very good centers. And for Nikola Jokic to make the finals with the Nuggets, odds are he's going to have to match up with, well, he certainly will be matching up with DeAndre Ayton. And boy, what a test for DeAndre Ayton.
No kidding.
And then probably, odds are, you never know, graduate into he and Rudy Gobert. The ex-Nugget Rudy Gobert.
Nuggets legend Rudy Gobert.
So I'm
Nuggets
here for
legend
it.
Donovan Mitchell, his teammate.
I'm telling you. It's going to be an all-Nugget conference finals, perhaps. Anyways, I think the Nuggets are definitely a threat. Not the favorite, but they are a threat. Number three.
Question three.
All right, quickly, does LA still have a representative in the playoffs tomorrow?
God, this is tough, dude. We're going into game six. Mavs up 3-2. This is elimination time for the Clippers, and they're in Dallas. Here's the deal. The road team has won the first five games of the series. Second, the Clippers are 2.5-point favorites tonight in Dallas. I'm going to go against Vegas on this one. I think Dallas closes this out. Here's why. I think Rick Carlisle figured something out. I think he figured something out involving Marjanovic, Boban, and zoning. Bobby. And I think he figured a little tiny thing out in the last game defensively, just a little bit with his zone looks. I think it's just enough to give them. Listen, coin flip, dude. But if I have to pick, I'm going to say the Mavs close out at home.
We got to go, but quickly, give me Luka's line.
I'm going to say Luka's going to have something like something in the mid to high 20s. I think he'll have a triple-double, but I think he will have 13 or more assists. I think they're going to do the whole, if Dallas is going to beat us, let it be somebody other than Luka. And I think Luka is just going to go insane. I would put the over-under on assists tonight for Luka Doncic at 13.5.
I think the Mavs win tonight. I hope the Clippers win and then the Mavs win game seven. I want to see seven. I want to see a seven-game series like the World Series we got a couple years ago where the road team just wins everything.
I totally agree. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, again, Ann Killian at 8 o'clock. Coming up next, we'll hit halftime. We'll touch on things that happened yesterday. Let's get back into the NBA playoffs, including the question, is the East more interesting than the West this year? I love the way these playoffs are shaping out. And golly, has nothing to do with the Lakers being bounced in the first round. We'll talk about all that right after this.
When management finally gets tired and just gives up, the Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
You know, Twitter is a total cesspool.
Fact.
There are occasions where I very much value the app, and this is one of them. There's a guy named Joe Pompliano. Who writes
the actor?
No, that's Pantolfino. You know what I mean. The guy from The Sopranos. Yeah, not this guy. He writes an email every day, breaks down the business and money behind sports. So like Darren Revelle, but without the nerd. Just cool stories. And I've been compiling. I just started following him this week. And I've been compiling some stories. I'd like to, because this is a fun Friday, I thought you might be interested in a couple of these. These really did catch my eye. You should follow him on Twitter. We told you last week the Food Network is paying Guy Fieri $80 million over 3 years. At $26.6 million annually, Guy Fieri would be the 15th highest paid player in the NFL. More than Tom Brady, Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham Jr., Jalen Ramsey, and Amari Cooper, amongst others. It's a better way to, you know, you're not going to be as in good a shape.
Right.
Guy Fieri does, but better on the, you know, the head.
The mentals.
The startup Acorns. I don't know if you've ever, I did Acorns for a while a couple years ago. Basically,
I did Acorns sounds like someone who said I did shrooms in the 70s, by the way.
So Acorns is an app, and I know it does more than this, but this is why I thought it was interesting. You connect your debit card to it, and any purchase you make, if you buy something for $9.13, it rounds it up to $10 and it takes that 87 cents and it throws it in thing. Then they invest it and you get dividends. I thought it was cool. So I did it for a while and then I stopped.
Did it work?
I mean, yeah, but just, you know, hey, I made, you know, $1.87 this month. Yeah. I mean, it's, hey, listen, that's
something off the dollar menu, bro.
Yeah, right. They're going public at a $2.2 billion valuation. How does this tie to sports? Because Kevin Durant and his business partner, Rich Kleiman, invested when it was at a $140 million valuation. So if their average was 500 grand each that they invested, that investment is now worth $8 million.
Is that good?
It's not the first investment Kevin Durant's made that's turned out quite well. Joe also shares this story about your guy, Tim Tebow.
Oh, my guy, Tim Tebow. You want to do that?
I mean,
are we going there?
I'm the guy who perpetually loves the Tim Tebow's, the J.J. Watts of the world, while guys like you and Kyle throw, you know, insults at them. Well, maybe this will change your mind. When Tim Tebow was 14 years old, he attended a summer camp with his older brothers. He had just started lifting weights. But the kids at the camp had a 55-pound curl bar and wanted to see who could do the most. Tebow got in line, but unlike most people, he didn't get to the front. He quietly snuck his way to the back of the line. So he knew the number that he'd have to beat.
So he cheated.
He ended up second to last in line. And when it was his turn, the record was 55 reps. Well, Tim, of course, he got to 55 and then he got to 56, but he didn't stop. Why? Because the guy behind him was massive and Tebow didn't know how many he could do. Instead, 14-year-old Tim Tebow didn't stop at 56. He did 315 reps of the 55-pound bar at 14 years old. He couldn't move his arms for 3 days, but the last guy didn't even come close. That's how you become a champion. Right there, buddy. You don't go like
that's the entire story.
You're not the Clippers.
Tim Tebow cheated.
You don't lay down like the Clippers because you want to avoid teams. you go right for the heart, and then you crush it. Tim Tebow, champion.
What was Tim Tebow's minor league batting average?
I don't know, probably 800.
Like 190-something, maybe.
Three boxers globally last year.
Is Tim Tebow one of them?
No. Close, though.
Hey, if you oh, by the way, go out to Jacksonville. I hear Tim Tebow will be wrestling a bear at halftime of the first game to draw fans.
No, Tim Tebow's too nice to wrestle a bear.
No, no, it's going to be Greco-Roman style, so don't worry. He won't hurt the bear.
Three boxers globally made $20 million or more last year. I don't know who the other two are, although I assume Floyd Mayweather was one.
Even though he didn't fight.
I can't remember who the other one was. I'm guessing.
What was the figure?
20 plus million. I'm guessing.
Three boxers? Canelo.
Yeah, Canelo, I'm thinking, is the second, yeah.
Unless Pacquiao. I mean, Pacquiao's a lot of deals.
I don't think Pacquiao. No, but I think in the from ring.
Oh, from the ring?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's Floyd, and I think it's Canelo. Canelo was.
Floyd didn't fight last year.
Didn't he? Okay, maybe it wasn't. All right, anyways, not to get lost, because the important point is the third boxer to make $20 or more million this year. Last year, sorry.
Do I get a guess?
Sure.
Give me a division.
I can't.
You can. There's no, nothing preventing you.
I can't, and I think you'll understand why.
Tyson Fury?
Jake Paul.
He doesn't count.
Okay.
He's not a boxer, he's a fighter.
Speaking of Floyd Mayweather, like he's had he will, after this weekend, have completed his third straight exhibition fight since his retirement. Conor McGregor, Tenshin Nasukawa in Japan, and then Logan Paul.
I don't even remember the Nasukawa fight.
It was a farce, and it was in Japan and whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
A Floyd Mayweather exhibition was a farce.
I'm shocked. I am on record a billion times saying I'm not a Floyd fan, never been a Floyd fan. I respect the boxing acumen. That's it. I can talk about Floyd the boxer and not talk about Floyd the person, but it's very impossible for me to separate the two. Mm-hmm. But I will say this about Floyd. Floyd understands the business, and he might be the smartest business-wise athlete ever.
I was going to say, from a money-making standpoint, you're not going to find many more people that have his acumen.
When the figures come in, and if they're even close to what's expected, and my guess is they'll go above what's expected this weekend, between Conor McGregor, Tenshin Nasukawa, and Logan Paul, Floyd Mayweather will have made just under $500 million. $500 million for minimal promotion and three exhibition fights.
Are you... I'm sorry not to be that guy, but I thought Mayweather and Conor was sanctioned.
It might have been.
I'm almost positive it was.
Why? What is that? I don't understand. What does that have to do with?
Well, you were saying three exhibition fights.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're 100% correct. Two exhibition fights and a sanctioned bout with a guy that had never boxed.
He had Conor, or he had Floyd on the ropes.
Oh, he sure did. It was super close. And finally, this is all from my guy who does not know he's my guy yet, but we'll have to have him on the show, Joe Pompliano on Twitter. I appreciate this content. The percentage of sports fans that feel comfortable attending indoor sporting events. Starting back in January, 24% said they would feel comfortable attending an indoor sporting event. In February, that rose to 27%. In March, 31%. In April, 37%. In May, 45%. And last month, exactly half of people, 50%, said that they feel comfortable at an indoor sporting event. That's good, I think. I'm glad. Because I hope that means that more people are getting the old vaccination on.
I don't necessarily think it means that in certain parts of the country.
Taking my kids today, 1 o'clock.
Kitties?
Kitties.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Who are they playing?
What?
Who are they playing?
No, I'm taking them to, going to the dock.
Oh, I thought you were taking them to a Rivercats game.
No. My children.
Yeah, I thought you were taking them to a Rivercats game. That's way funner than a doctor's office.
That's a good point.
Personal opinion.
From the 916, perhaps a suggestion to make a donation to a domestic violence organization might be appropriate for the fight this weekend. Well, I agree. And
not going to happen.
I wouldn't hold your breath.
They don't call them donation Mayweather. They call them money Mayweather.
You know, the and then we'll move on here. The one of the most insane things I've ever done for charity, speaking of domestic violence organizations, Weave is an organization very near and dear and to my heart and close. My mother used to volunteer for Weave when I was a child, and that's how I first learned about it, and that's come with me all the way here. It is a very, very worthy cause, and everyone should do this. I don't know if they still do, honestly. I know coronavirus certainly would have affected it, but I had this promotion or fundraiser called Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. And what it was you went down to Capitol Mall, you know, the big rectangle by the Capitol, and they had this huge pile. You could bring your own. I did not. They had this huge pile of red high-heeled shoes. And I wear a size 15 shoe, and somehow they had one that fit. I don't know how. That was pretty miraculous. And the idea here, Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. You put the shoes on and you walk a mile, which is X, I forget how many laps, but X laps around Capitol Mall. Huge fundraiser. I did it. Oh my God. First time in my life I'd ever worn high heels. And let me just say, tongue in cheek, that when I was done, it made me severely. I went home to my wife and I said, she said, how was it? I said, it was really amazing. I talked to some wonderful people, and we raised a lot of money. It was awesome, awesome, awesome. I said, but I got to say one thing. I'm really questioning your IQ right now. She goes, what are you talking about? I said, who would voluntarily do this? Who would voluntarily wear high heels? I don't understand it. She says, well, and she explained all the reasons why you wear high heels. I'm like, screw that. Who cares? Stop wearing high heels. High heels should be outlawed. That's terrible. Have you ever worn high heels, Jay?
No.
In your life, have you ever worn high heels?
I have not.
Have you ever walked, like during the next break, I know you won't do this.
Nope.
Walk around just the studios here on your tiptoes.
Okay, that's easy for me. I got strong calves.
But then add in the fact that you have these pointy sticks on the bottom of your heels that could cause you to break your ankle at any moment. So it was kind of two things. On one hand, I said, I don't understand why you do this to my wife. I don't understand why you would possibly do this. On the other hand, I was like, respect. Like, God bless you. The just the balance alone. And that's something I would have never known if I didn't walk a mile in her shoes. I would have never known about high heels. I think you should come out with me next time.
I don't have a problem doing that for charity.
Okay. I thought you were going to say no.
Listen, I'm not Mr. I'm not gonna do that, bro. Bro, not really.
All right. Let's get to halftime.
We're skipping halftime.
You want to skip halftime?
No, I don't want to. We're going to. It's halftime should have about 15 minutes ago, but
halftime, schmalftime.
Basketball. Oh, boy. Basketball.
The Lakers are gone for now. Okay, all Laker hatred aside, is it understandable what happened to them? Thank you for the email.
Yes, it's understandable what happened to them. I'm not Mr. Oh, the Lakers are exposed. Oh, the bubble is a fluke. Oh, LeBron, should he retire? No, guys, Anthony Davis got hurt. LeBron was a little gimpy, and we've talked about it at length. If one of those two pieces is missing, that team sucks.
So you think it was the bubble, amongst others?
I think it was Anthony Davis' injury bubble popped. It's just the way the team is constructed. They have to both be playing or that team is not good.
So here's what I thought, or here's what I was wondering coming out of last night. If Anthony Davis and LeBron James were both healthy and the rest of that team was exactly the same, did the Lakers win the title this year?
Say that one more time.
If, take the health concerns away. Okay. Let's say LeBron and Anthony Davis were 100%. Does that team win the title?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't think so.
I do.
I think their losses from last year are a little bit underrated. And I think you see this a lot with top-heavy teams where they basically, well, a lot of it's cap. But they go, okay, well, we've got these two guys. Let's just fill in with whatevs.
What loss? Give me one loss you think that I think, really was big.
I think on it, you're going to laugh, but I think Dwight Howard was a big loss for that team.
Dwight Howard was really good off the bench for them last year. He's been good off the bench for Philadelphia this year. I'll give you that. But at the time, I think everyone was certainly okay with it because you just got the reigning sixth man to come off the bench, and whoa, did that not work out?
Sure.
Well.
Montrezl Harrell has been, you know, listen, I don't want to get too crazy, but he was a disaster. And compared to what they thought he would be.
Clippers Montrezl was not Lakers Montrezl.
No.
It was kind of, I don't want to say dumbfounding, but it was surprising. The overall center position for them this year was not good. Marc Gasol needs to retire, first of all. Like, Marc Gasol is done.
Danny Green was a tough loss for them.
Danny Green was a tough loss. I'll give you that.
Danny Green was absolutely a tough loss.
I mean, yeah, playoff Rondo. I mean, last year in the bubble, Rondo was
amazing. Fantastic. Rondo is fantastic in the sense, especially in the playoffs, because he just is so good at breaking other teams down, even if his own play isn't great. And by the way, his own play was fine, and at some points, great. But it's that on-floor ability to call out positioning and to call out plays, which is why I do worry a little bit. Like, if I'm Tyronn Lue, I'm playing Rondo serious minutes tonight. Because regardless of what Rondo does statistically, having him on the floor to control the action, I think, could really frustrate Dallas in many, many ways. He obviously knows their playbook, and Carlisle's talked about him calling out plays and wondering how the hell he knew that. I just think that we look at the collection of players sometimes on these teams. JaVale McGee, I mean, I get it. But we're talking about the center position. And listen.
Center position was a problem this
year. Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee, who would have, if you'd have told me this year that they would go from Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee to Andre Drummond and Andre Drummond and Montrezl Harrell.
And the corpse of
Marc Gasol.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's even leave it there. Let's rewind a year from now, or a year ago. And right after the finals are over, and we were sitting here talking, and the ghost of NBA future came in and said, hey, listen, they're going to lose Dwight Howard, and they're going to lose JaVale McGee, but they're going to replace them with Marc Gasol, Andre Drummond, and Montrezl Harrell.
You're just like, oh my gosh, the Lakers got 10 times better.
I would have ranted for 20 minutes about the NBA and how terrible it is. Now the rich get richer and the Lakers, and this is garbage.
I think we may have done that when all those things happened.
But in reality, you know, Hassan Whiteside was accused by, I think, Zach Lowe of having those empty calories like a Pringles can. You know, you go out there, you put some numbers up, but that's a big time situation where not that Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee didn't put up any numbers. But a guy like JaVale McGee, you know, you laugh at him. He's on Shaqton all the time. You know, he just seems kind of off and all over the place. I mean, basketball-wise. But then you look up, and the guy is insanely athletic. He has good instincts. And when he's good, he's good. He's a very serviceable guy. You just have to put up with some of the lapses. It turns out that they were better off at the center position last year by a large amount.
Yeah. Again, not something anyone would have predicted.
So it's not just about LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I think, honest to God, we think, you know, what's the most difficult job for an NBA GM to have? Well, it's to acquire talent and build a winner. I agree with that. But the job that rarely gets talked about because people roll their eyes, and I think is very underrated. When you have top flight talent, having the understanding of who to put around them. And a lot of times it's not the big names that matter. It's the people that are willing and able to know their role, execute their role, don't get out of your role, and completely commit to the team concept as a supplement to the superstars. Now, the psychology of that, Jay, is very difficult because anybody who plays in the NBA has been the best player on their team their entire life, almost to a man. Elementary school, junior high, high school, college, and then you get to the NBA. Your whole life. Remember yesterday we talked about rich people being surrounded by sycophants and they start believing they're smarter than they are? You have NBA players with massive egos, and it's totally understandable. And when you tell them, it's a big reason why a lot of players, when they're told, hey, we need you off the bench, a lot of players are like, Bobby Jackson was on this very radio station talking about that when Rick Adaman sat him down and said, hey, listen, this is how we envision you helping us. You are here to support Mike Bibby, Doug Christie, and then, of course, Webb, Divots, and Peja, but really that backcourt. We need you off the bench. And in Bobby's mind, it's like, well, hold on a second. I'm a starter. Everyone thinks that. I'm a starter. I can still do this. So you have to, as a GM, identify those players. And it's like, do you want to start or do you want to win? And then you have to be able to, they have to be able to plug in, and they have to be able to completely sell out to the team concept. And I don't think the Lakers had that this year. In addition to the injuries, I don't think the Lakers had that, like a guy like Danny Green, who was raised on that concept with Pop in San Antonio, a guy like JaVale McGee, who completely understood that concept with the Warriors, and even a guy like Dwight Howard, who was the top of the Pops for many, many, many years at his position or near it, but to his credit, fulfilled his role beautifully. That's what they need to do. I mean, saying that Anthony Davis and LeBron James need to get healthy, duh. I think they should either get to Montrezl Harrell psychologically or...
Well, he has a player option. That marriage just might just not work.
See if he opts out or even see if there's a market where you could pick him up and move him.
Well, it'll be interesting. There's a part of me that feels like he'll opt out, but there's the other part of me that feels like he'll opt in simply because I thought his stock took a dive this year.
Yeah.
I think Andre Drummond, though, took a super dive. Like, what is his market value? Because he's a free agent.
Well, wasn't he making 20 plus?
Yeah.
This year?
Oh, yeah. This was the final year of a big deal.
I mean, it's got to be. How old is Andre? Isn't Andre Drummond not as old as I think he is?
He's under 30.
Right.
I want to say he's like 27, 28.
I got to think Andre Drummond still has a 10 plus. He's not going to get in the 20s. But I think Andre, I think.
Does Andre Drummond get more money than Rashawn Holmes on the open market?
I think Rashawn probably gets more, but.
Rashawn should get more. Let me say that.
But G wouldn't surprise me at all.
Rashawn might be setting the market for big men. That's another thing we haven't really explored yet.
Lastly, you mentioned
Big men, I mean gettable big men.
Sure. Montrezl Harrell does have a player option this year. This is interesting. $9.7 million.
That's just it. Is there someone on the open market? I think there would be. That would give him 10 plus. Like, just didn't work in L.A. We know this guy can play.
If the Kings lost Rashawn Holmes, would Montrezl Harrell be a guy that you'd be interested in?
Of course I'd be interested in him. You're going to lose a lot defensively.
How about this? If the Kings lost Rashawn Holmes, is Andre Drummond a guy you'd be interested in?
It depends on the deal. Depends on the money. Not for good money, no.
3 years, $40 million. That's $13 million a year.
Yeah, I know.
A little over
$13. Give me $3 and $30.
You negotiating Monty?
I am. I look just like him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of former King centers that'll be available. DeMarcus, Willie.
See DeMarcus and Willie.
Was fun. I really enjoyed that as a Kings fan because nobody else cares in the NBA except for Kings fans are like getting their popcorn for that one.
You think at any point Willie turned to DeMarcus from because Willie was on the free throw, not the free throw line, but he was getting ready to rebound. Do you think at any point Willie turned to DeMarcus and said, hey, who's on the floor and who hasn't gotten off the bench? Because DeMarcus hadn't played in that game. I think Willie played 5 minutes. So I don't know if you could really talk trash.
Got him.
God, who'd have thought we'd see the day this soon that DeMarcus Cousins would have trouble getting off the bench for the Clippers in the playoffs on his 1, 2, 3, 4th team since the Kings, or third team?
You count the Lakers, even though he never dressed?
Yeah, I do. Okay, so
this team. Would be his fourth team. No, fifth, Rockets. Forgot about the Rockets.
Hold on. New Orleans, Rockets.
Warriors.
Oh, God, Lakers. I forgot about the Warriors. Oh, my God. Someday we're going to...
He's played for every California team.
Someday there's going to be a think piece on if you take DeMarcus talking to Andy Farrillo of the B and saying, I'm going to be here a long time, and getting offered that max extension. From that moment, or even from the trade, to now... And, you know, I love DeMarcus, but I'm trying to think of, have we seen a more dramatic fall?
Isaiah Thomas was pretty dramatic.
God dang it. You're depressing me. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right. Ann Killian last week of the San Francisco Chronicle wrote an article that made a lot of waves with the A's and A's fans in regards to the stadium. We're going to have her on ahead of hopefully having Dave Cavill on next week. So kind of the first of a two-parter going into the A's stadium situation. We'll be right back right after this.